ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नैषां मतिस्थावरुरुक्रमं घ्रिं स्पृशात्यनाथापगमो यदार्ता महीयसंफादरजोऽभिषेकं निष्किञ्चनानां नवनीतयावत्। Unless they smear upon their bodies the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnav, completely freed from material contamination, persons very much inclined toward materialistic life cannot be attached to the lotus feet of the Lord, who is glorified for his uncommon activities. Only by becoming Krishna conscious and taking shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord in this way can one be freed from material contamination. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Becoming Krishna conscious brings about anartha apagama, the disappearance of all anarthas, the miserable conditions we have unnecessarily accepted. The material body is the basic principle of these unwanted, miserable conditions. The Vedic civilization is meant to relieve one from these unwanted miseries. But persons bound by the laws of nature do not know the destination of life. As described in the previous verse, Isha Tantriyam Urudamni Badha, they are conditioned by the three strong modes of material nature. The education that keeps the conditioned soul bound life after life is called materialistic education. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has explained that materialistic education expands the influence of Maya. Such an education induces the conditioned soul to be increasingly attached to materialistic life and to stray further and further away from liberation from unwanted miseries. One may ask why highly educated persons do not take to Krishna consciousness. The reason is explained in this verse. Unless one takes shelter of a bona fide, fully Krishna conscious spiritual master, there is no chance of understanding Krishna. The educators, scholars, and big political leaders worshipped by millions of people cannot understand the goal of life and take to Krishna consciousness, for they have not accepted a bona fide spiritual master and the Vedas. Therefore, in the Mukunda Mundaka Upanishad, it is said, Nayam atma pravachanena labhyo namedhaya nabahuna sudhatena. One cannot become self-realized simply by having an academic education, by presenting lectures in an erudite way, or by being an intelligent scientist who discovers many wonderful things. One cannot understand Krishna unless one is graced by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only one who has surrendered to a pure devotee of Krishna and taken the dust of his lotus feet can understand Krishna. First, one must understand how to get out of the clutches of Maya. The only means is to become Krishna conscious. And to become Krishna conscious very easily, one must take shelter of a realized soul, a Mahat or Mahatma, whose only interest is to engage in the service of the Supreme Lord. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Mahatmanastu mam paratha, divim prakriti mashrita, vajantyananya manaso, kyatva bhutadim abhyayam. O son of Prita, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. Therefore, to end the unwanted miseries of life, one must become a devotee. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati yakinchana sarvair gunais tatra samasate sura. One who has unflinching devotional faith in Krishna consistently manifests all the good qualities of Krishna and the demigods. Yasya devi para bhaktir yatha deve tatha guru tasya ite katita hyarata prakashanti mahatmanaha. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. Yamevaisha vrinute tena labhyas tasyaisa atma vivranute tanum swam. The Lord is obtained only by one whom he himself chooses. To such a person he manifests his own form. These are the Vedic injunctions. One must take shelter of a self-realized spiritual master, not a materially educated scholar or politician. One must take shelter of a niskinchana, a person engaged in devotional service and free from material contamination. That is the way to return home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Today, I have been given this verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, entitled Prahlad, the Saintly Son of Hiranyakashipu, Text 32. I would like to begin by offering sincere gratitude to Krishna Chandra Prabhu, Radha Priya Prabhu and their family for opening the doors to their home in Pune, for all thousands of devotees to gather for today's festival. Seeing all of you gathered in this place is bringing many beautiful memories to my heart. And I offer my gratitude to Radhe Shyam Prabhu and all the leaders of the Pune Temple, Sri Radha Kunja Bihari, Radha Vrindavan Chandra, for helping to organize this event. To all of you for so kindly coming today. In today's verse,
Hiranyakashipu, who was a great emperor, a person who performed such severe austerities on the path of yoga, that he gained the powers to conquer not only this world, but many worlds within the universe. As the son of Kashyapa Muni and Diti, he had an exalted Brahmin heritage. He was extremely learned, extremely influential. He had unprecedented wealth. He had beyond anyone's imagination in this tiny little world every type of material resource. Srila Prabhupada gives the example that the tiger is the most powerful animal in the jungle. He has no one to fear. Everyone fears the tiger. Yet a tiny little bird flies on the back of the tiger, and his sweet little voice is warning everyone in the jungle, the tiger is coming. And therefore, before the tiger gets anywhere, everyone else runs away. The tiger's roar is monstrous. The little bird is just very quiet and sweet. The tiger's physical strength is unrivaled. The little bird is tiny and helpless physically. Yet by nature's arrangement, the tiger is in tremendous anxiety because he can't get rid of this little bird. The little bird rests on his back, and the tiger cannot reach on his own back. And he's hungry. He can't find anything to eat because this little bird keeps telling everybody the tiger is coming. Srila Prabhupada gives this analogy to tell us that no matter who we are, material nature will create a situation beyond our control. And if we have any material attachments, we have to suffer in that situation. Queen Kunti prayed that those who are too much attached to the opulences of wealth, fame, high birth, high education, physical strength, beauty, they cannot take shelter of Krishna with a humble and sincere heart. And ultimately, it is only in taking shelter of Krishna that we can be liberated from the limitless complexities of material existence. Daivi yeshuku namayima mamaya duratyaya mam evam yepapadyante mayam eta tarantite. This creation, the divine energy of the Lord, consisting of three modes of nature, sattva, raja, tama, goodness, passion, and ignorance, very difficult to overcome. But one who takes shelter of me, Krishna tells, could easily cross beyond it. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharachara. Material nature is under the control of the Supreme Controller. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha. Krishna is the ultimate controller of all controllers. In this story that we are reading today, Hiranyakashipu was like the tiger, and Prahlad was like the little bird. But the difference is, Prahlad was the most loving well-wisher that Hiranyakashipu ever had. No one respected, loved, and wished better things for the king than his own little 5-year-old son, Prahlad. But because of his ego, he could not identify the goodness of Prahlad. Ultimately, as we find at the conclusion of this story, it was Prahlad's selfless, loving prayers. He was asked for any benediction in all of creation. He only asked that his father be liberated. This is the condition of the material ego. We become so obsessed with our own selfish ego. We so much put our material and mental concerns in the center of our life that we cannot recognize a well-wisher. If someone is not according to my particular motivation of what's good for me, we consider them an enemy or an adversity. This element of Hiranyakashipu, within its historical context, is also allegorical. To the condition within each and every conditioned soul. Until we are completely purified of the ahankar or the false ego, these tendencies represented by Hiranyakashipu are within ourselves. Hiranyakashipu, he had so much gold, so many beautiful palaces, control over so many lands. He had conquered the demigods, what to speak of all the little human kings. But he could not control his little son. He was attached. He was attached to being proud of his son. But he only wanted his son to be just like him. That was his conception of greatness. But Prahlad, due to his satsang, association with the great Vaishnav devotee Narada in the womb of his mother, he had developed a deep attachment to pure devotional service, to the path of bhakti. He was constantly remembering Krishna. Krishna Surya Samaya Hoya Andhakar. Krishna is like the sun. Maya is like darkness. We don't even really know we're in darkness until we recognize the sun. Because Prahlad had experienced by the grace of his guru Narada Muni the brilliant light of Krishna's grace, he could see everything as it is. He could see, while so many people in the world honored, respected, and gave their total obedience to his father, he could see his father engrossed in the worst type of arrogance and ignorance. And he wanted to help him. Hiranyakashipu sent Prahlad to his own school, which was meant to give people the highest level, technically, academically, of education. But the purpose was to carry on Hiranyakashipu's mission. Srila Prabhupada explains that any education, when it is built on the foundational principle that I am an eternal soul living temporarily within this material body and mind, and that my true nature, Jivera Swaropoi Krishnara Nityadas, is that the soul is an eternal servant of Krishna. Whatever education, whatever we learn, whatever skills we acquire in our life that are utilized in the loving service of Krishna, that is transcendental. But when we forget who we really are, what is our real purpose, what is truly to our interest, then whatever we learn only perpetuates illusion. Hiranyakashipu, on a series of occasions, asked Prahlad, what is the best subject that you learned in school? And Prahlad Maharaj always answered, the best education is to understand that this material world is a place of misery, this conception of I and mine, I am this body, and those things in relation to the body are mine, are the source of all distress. We should take shelter of Krishna, because we were all eternal servants of Krishna. Hiranyakashipu, at first, considered it very strange. How is this happening? He chastised his teachers and sent Prahlad back to school. But every time Prahlad came back to father and he asked this question, little Prahlad went deeper and deeper into what real education is. And it culminates in these verses that we are reading today. He is telling his father that true education, true knowledge, is to understand this principle. Unless we smear upon our bodies the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, completely free of material contaminations, people very much inclined toward materialistic life cannot be attached to the lotus feet of the Lord, who is glorified for his uncommon activities. Only by becoming Krishna conscious and taking shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, in this way, can one be freed from material contamination. Srila Prabhupada is explaining in this purport, the power of Maya is so great, and the sweetness of devotional service is supreme. To be freed from material contamination and to actually realize prema or love for Krishna is only possible through grace. It cannot be attained by our austerities, by our renunciation of materialistic sensory objects, cannot be attained by our knowledge, our discrimination, what is matter, what is spirit, what is truth, what is illusion, cannot be attained by our health, by our influence, by how many followers we may have or not have. All of these things can be helpful only to the degree that they affect us in such a way that we sincerely take shelter of Krishna's grace. It is that grace alone that can free us. It is that grace alone that could restore us. It is by that grace alone that we can experience the only true goal of life. In the technological world, electricity The engineers are constantly trying to create more efficient ways for electricity to work and operate. A conductor is something that gives the power for electricity to flow through it to enter into a particular item. Is that correct so far? But when there's a heavy load of electricity, if the conductor becomes overheated, then it fails to operate properly. So there is a creation of a superconductor, where somehow or other we bring the temperature of the conductor down to the lowest possible place so that electricity, large volumes, could just flow through it. And there's no impediment. There's no blockage. There's no breakdown. In a similar way, grace is flowing everywhere. But the ahankar, the ego, it blocks that flow of grace. It blocks the current of grace. But trinadapi suniche naturor iva sahishnuna. If we follow this principle of being humble like a blade of grass, tolerant like a tree, offer all respect to others, expect none in return, then there is no ego to impede the current of grace from flowing through us. And each and every one of us, through following this beautiful teaching of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, chanting the holy names of the Lord in this spirit of humility, we can become superconductors of grace. Not only does that grace flow into us to completely purify us, but it flows through us to truly purify other people in the world. We become transformed by that grace, and we become empowered in everything we do by that grace. This is bhakti. Little Prahlad, such a superconductor he was. He was so humble, even to his own father, who was abusive to him, who was hateful to him. Still, amani na manadena. He had no false ego. He just wanted the best for everyone. Krishna's full grace was flowing into him and through him. Today is Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada's disappearance day. Srila Prabhupada quotes Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada in Bhagavad Gita by telling that his Guru Maharaj, Srila Saraswati Thakur, has taught the first principle of a Vaishnava is simplicity. To have a simple heart. No duplicity. Duplicity means to have ulterior motives. Simplicity is a genuine, humble desire to please Krishna. To be happy with the opportunity to serve. The residents of Vrindavan, that is their special, supreme characteristic, is their love for Krishna is so simple and pure. During our yatra in Vrindavan, we explained the story of when Nanda Maharaj, on a Dwadasi morning, he went to take his bath in Yamuna. And a particular agent of Varuna, who thought he was very, very learned in astrology, in time, circumstance, and the laws that govern the world, he conceived that Nanda Maharaj was taking his bath at the wrong time. And in previous ages, like Dwapar Yuga, little transgressions were taken very seriously because people had capacity to follow so perfectly. So that person arrested Nanda. Very difficult situation. The other cowherd men, they saw Nanda Maharaj go in Yamuna and then disappear. They couldn't find him anywhere. They were looking in, they were diving deeper. They couldn't find him. They were looking all around. It was still dark. They were crying. They were in such distress. The residents of Vrindavan, so many came. They were all weeping, crying, "Where is Nanda Maharaj, our king?" Krishna understood. So then he jumped in the Yamuna and he disappeared. So this made everything even worse. Not only Nanda is gone, but Nanda Nandana is also gone. Krishna went to the abode of Varuna. And there, Varuna welcomed Krishna with beautiful garlands and jewels and offered prayers. And Nanda Maharaj was very nicely sitting on a throne, and he was watching. Varuna, who is his empire, so majestic, the abode of one of the greatest, most powerful, opulent demigods. Nanda Maharaj was, he was amazed at the inconceivable wealth and power of Varuna. And he saw Varuna worshipping and offering prayers to Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth. Varunadev apologized. He said, "Here is your father, Nanda Maharaj." Actually, he did not make any mistake. He bathed at the right time. But my agent is an ignorant fool. Due to his false ego, he thought he was right, and he committed such a terrible offense that he arrested Nanda. As the master of the agent, I am responsible, so I am begging forgiveness. But at the same time, from this mistake, you have come to bless my kingdom. I surrender my heart, my life, my everything to you. Krishna blessed Varuna and then took Nanda Maharaj. Meanwhile, everybody in Vrindavan was weeping and crying that Nanda and Nanda Nandana were both gone. It was such a mystery nobody knew. Both of them disappeared in the waters of Yamuna, and then they both appeared. It was a great festival. But what amazed people the most is when Nanda Maharaj told the Brijabasis, especially the cowherd men, how he described the opulence, the wealth, and the power of Varuna, and how that Varuna was bowing down and offering prayers and giving gifts to our little cowherd boy Krishna, who likes to decorate himself with the mud of Vrindavan, with the wild flowers and peacock feathers of Vrindavan, who plays his flute and dances and takes care of the cows. Who is this Krishna? And the cowherd men were thinking, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's what Varuna was saying. How is this? But they had such simple hearts. Even though they were thinking this and saying this, in their heart of hearts, they could only recognize Krishna, despite all this academic, theoretical information they were receiving. They can only accept him as Sri Nandanandana. He's the son of Yashoda and Nanda. He's our friend. He's our child. He's our lover. But in the simplicity of their hearts, they ask Krishna, can you show us the spiritual world? Krishna took them to Akura Ghat, and he revealed to them the Brahma Jyoti, the all-pervading transcendental light of the Brahman. They were in great awe to see it. Then Krishna revealed to them Goloka Vrindavan. And more or less, in that Vaikuntha realm that they saw, the spiritual world beyond birth, beyond death, the ultimate destination. They saw that Krishna was the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, and everything was almost exactly as it is right here in the Vrindavan that we're living. It's the same place. But they won't. They didn't like to see Krishna in any situation from the way they were living with him in Vrindavan, where they could play with him, where they could embrace him. Krishna revealed to them that there was nothing for them to aspire for. They were already in the highest realm of the spiritual world and beyond, because they were with him. This is the simplicity of the love of the Vrijabasis. They were all completely united. Even if there was a conflict, that conflict was always with the deepest affection for each other, because it was for the pleasure of Krishna. When we put the pleasure of Krishna in the center of our lives, and when as a community we actually put aside our own ego's ulterior motives to put Krishna's pleasure in the center. Then there is actual harmony. Conflict will come. But when Krishna is in the center, when we take ourselves outside of that focus and put Krishna in place, then even the inevitable conflicts only bring us together on a deeper level. That is simplicity. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained that is a primary qualification for a devotee. Unless we value simplicity, strive for that type of simplicity of heart, just a genuine desire to serve, then we cannot really make genuine spiritual progress. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, as we were speaking last night, he was such a scholar. When he was only a boy of 4 or 5 years old, he took a vow never to eat mangoes. He followed it his whole life. How many children could be so serious, especially in Bengal, where mangoes are the ultimate experience as far as eating. He ate a mango and his father, Thakur Bhakti Vinod, told him that it has not been offered to Krishna. This is not correct. You should never take anything that is not offered to Krishna first. So then I will never eat another mango again. He was born in Jagannath Puri. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, that great acharya, who even the greatest renunciates took shelter of, who was honored and respected even by the academic world of Bengal at the time, by the British government and legal system. He was such a gentleman. He was such a Vaishnav that he was honored and respected by all varieties of people, like the six Goswamis. He prayed to Lord Jagannath, to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, send me one of your own personal associates to help spread the Sankirtan mission within this world. As Advaitacharya prayed to Krishna to appear within this world to spread Krishna consciousness, Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed to Krishna to send one of his representatives to do the same. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, originally named Bimala Prasad, appeared in Sri Jagannath Puri Dham. He was so powerful. When he was just a young boy, he gathered together a group of like-minded young people and they all decided to be celibate monks for the rest of their life. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was the only one who actually followed it. He had such deep, intense determination. He was so learned. He was studying his father's books and studying all other books. He was such a scholar. He studied astrology and became the greatest astrologer on earth. But then he put it aside. He was so learned in Sanskrit. They were ready to develop a whole department around his teaching when he graduated in a major university. So he left college because he didn't want to deal with that. And he took initiation and accepted, not just as a formality, but with his heart, he accepted as his guru and his guide, along with Bhaktivinod Thakur, Srila Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, who was, by academic standards, illiterate, wasn't in good health. He was a completely simple man. Such humility. Putting all of his incredible material opulences aside to show the highest value to simple love for Krishna. And he preached with such force. He chanted the holy names a billion times in Sri Mayapur town, taking many years. On the order of his father and his guru, he established the Gaudiya Math. Many of the most qualified, incredible people gathered together to assist him. In 1922, in Calcutta, our own Srila Prabhupada Abhay Charan was brought by a friend to meet him for the first time and was given that historical prophetic instruction. You are an intelligent young man. Spread the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu throughout the world in the English language. At that moment, Srila Prabhupada accepted him as his guru. After a beautiful philosophical exchange. When Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was in Puri, he became very ill. At that time, Srila Prabhupada wrote him a letter. That within our mission, you have so many brahmachari sannyasis who are serving you day and night. I am a simple grihastha with a wife and children and an occupation. How could I best serve you? He was in Mumbai when he wrote that letter. And he received the reply with the same message he received in his first meeting. You are intelligent young man. take the message of Lord Chaitanya to the world in the English language. Soon after, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was taken by a train to Kolkata, the Bagh Bazar Gaudiya Math. One beautiful singer was doing kirtan for him. And he asked for another person, one of his dearmost disciples, to sing kirtan, who wasn't well known as having a very beautiful voice. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted to set this example also. We should learn to relish not the material qualities of devotional service, but the sweet, pure, simple bhakti of a devotee. He had him sing Sri Rupa Manjari Pada, song and glorification of Rupa Goswami. In Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's last instructions to his disciples that very night, that same night, he told his devotees that you should aspire for nothing else except to be the dust at the feet of Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami. To remain united on this higher principle of being the dust at the feet of Rupa and Raghunath. Not to take seriously honor, dishonor, pleasure, pain, happiness, distress. This material world, so many things come and go. But to receive the message of the Lord, to chant the holy name with all humility and purity, and to be united to spread the glories of the holy name with a simple heart. That was his message. Srila Prabhupada took that message as his life and soul. And in 1965, after preparing his whole life for this purpose, he left Radha Damodar Temple in Vrindavan, came to the West, and ultimately circled the world many times. And in the process, established the most beautiful temple that he created in his life in Mumbai. Even with incredible challenges, inconceivable opposition. He came to Pune. And shared Krishna consciousness with this great city. And wherever he went, he planted beautiful seeds, the seeds of divine grace. And he asked all of those who were his followers, for all generations, to water those seeds. Water the seed within our own hearts, and water the seeds that he has, that Srila Prabhupada's grace has planted in the hearts of so many other people. Here at Krishna Chandra Radha Priya Prabhu Mataji's home, we see these beautiful gardens, lovely flowers and trees and bushes, wonderful lawn that you are sitting upon. It takes a lot of effort to develop and maintain a garden. The gardeners, they are giving the proper water, giving the proper protection. But they don't think that the garden is theirs. With every flower that grows, they feel a very deep, loving connection to that flower if they're good gardeners. But they understand that the flowers belong to Krishna Chandra Prabhu and Radha Priyadevi. And they're just have such a good fortune that they can be there to make the flowers grow. In a similar way, within ISKCON, all of our temples, all of our devotees, it is all Prabhupada's garden. And we have the fortune to be his deputed gardeners. Within our own heart, we can't claim proprietorship for the seed of devotion that's there. We're watering it by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, by satsang, by Harinam Kirtan, by japa, by puja. We're watering that seed. It's the seed of divine grace that Srila Prabhupada has put there. And he's also giving us the water. Yes? Krishna Chandra Prabhu Radha Priya Devi, they are giving the water to the gardeners to use. It's coming from their taps. Yes? So we're taking Prabhupada's water in the form of the blessings of these wonderful gifts Prabhupada has given us to water the seed that he has planted in our hearts. It's very simple. It's not about I, me, and mine. It's about the blessings that are given to me. And in trying to develop a congregation, trying to develop a family, the members of our family, the members of our congregation, the members of our community, it's our duties. We're all meant to be gardeners. The seeds of divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, on behalf of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, has given all these seeds to everyone in the congregation. And also given us the through their blessings, through their grace, the holy name and the processes of bhakti to water those seeds. But we should never think it's about me. It's Prabhupada's garden. And in Parampara, Prabhupada never considered it his garden. He considered it all Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada's garden. He saw each of his devotees. He saw every living entity. within the garden of his guru's devotional service. Srila Prabhupada would often say, I have no qualification. My only qualification is I'm simply giving you what my guru has given me. It is all his property. And you are all his property. That is simplicity. Nothing is mine. When Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was at Radhakund, Srila Prabhupada with his son came to meet him. They were walking around Radhakund together, a very historical event that Srila Prabhupada shared with us. When Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada said to him, that there is fire in the mat. The residents of Gaudiya Math were disagreeing and having conflict among each other. He considered it to be fire. That had the potential to destroy so much that he gave his life to build. He said, now we have big temple and people are fighting over positions and fighting over facilities. And he told our Prabhupada, better we sell the marble and distribute books, print and distribute books with that money. If you get resources, he told Srila Prabhupada, print and distribute books. This is a very powerful lesson that each and every one of us has to take very seriously. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur did develop temples all over India. And Srila Prabhupada took his inspiration and gave so much of his heart and soul to translate books into English, to provide wonderful purports that he described as his own devotional ecstasies, and inspired those books to be printed and devotees to distribute them all over the world. But he also wanted places for people to come to see the culture of how they're lived. And he built a beautiful marble temple in Juhu, Bombay, built a beautiful temple in Vrindavan. He ordered Ambarish and our whole society of ISKCON to build the temple of the Vedic planetarium in Mayapur Dham. Srila Prabhupada wanted the whole of ISKCON, the whole family worldwide, to help to build that temple in Mayapur. And in the west, Bhaktivedanta Manor, the Fisher Mansion in Detroit, many wonderful churches. He established incredible temples all over the world. Some of them were quite magnificent. Some were built, some were purchased. But still, he told us this story. And therefore, we have to understand in a very balanced way. Whatever devotional service we render, the simplicity of heart is so important. Whether it's within our little family, living in a flat in Pune or Bombay or Nigri or wherever you may be, your wife, your children, your husband, your children, your parents, your brothers and sisters, whether it's in the ashram, whether it's in the congregation, whether it's among other temples of ISKCON. You should never allow this fire to destroy the great hard work of our gurus. The fire of conflict among each other. That is the way Kali tries to destroy true dharma. Srila Prabhupada said, no power outside of our movement, governments, militaries, we see in Russia, most powerful, America, Russia were the two most powerful nations in the world during the Cold War. And the communist government considered the Hare Krishna movement one of the three greatest threats to their existence. Practically in every family there was a KGB informant. But yet our movement was growing and growing and growing and growing, despite killing devotees, murdering devotees, torturing devotees, imprisoning devotees. They couldn't stop it from growing. Evidence, what Prabhupada said. No power outside of ourselves can stop our movement from growing. Only conflict among ourselves could do that. Fire. It's a message, it's a warning, it's a truth. Simplicity is very important. I'm just the gardener. Nothing is mine. Nothing is mine to take credit for. Nothing is mine to claim ownership of. Everything is the grace of Krishna coming through parampara. That was the spirit of little Prahlad Maharaj. And his father had such arrogance, was so much in this janasya moho yamahamameti, in this illusion that I am great, I am the emperor, I am the king, I am the father, I am the husband, I am the benefactor, I am the conqueror. This is my son, this is my wife, this is my army, this is my kingdom, this is my strength, this is my knowledge. He couldn't understand little Prahlad's words. All you have to do is take the dust of the feet of a great devotee and smear it upon your body, and you will become perfect. Very simple. What does it mean to put the dust at the feet of a devotee on our bodies? It's not just about scraping their feet and putting it on our bodies and going on with our own regular life. The dust of the feet of a devotee represents the simple, humble spirit to serve, to follow the instructions of that devotee and to serve those instructions, to please that devotee. That's what it means to take the dust of the feet of a devotee. And to smear the dust on every limb of your body means total, total simple desire in our life to follow the instructions and to serve those instructions for the pleasure of the great souls. That's all. Everybody has their conceptions, everyone has their nature. But what will please Guru Parampara? That's all that matters. That's what it means to smear the dust of the feet of the great souls on our heads and our limbs. A story that I love to tell, you have heard it many times before, but because I love to tell it, I'm going to tell it again. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur sent some of his very leading, powerful preachers to a remote place where there was no facilities. He told them to establish a temple and a community. And it wasn't easy. They went, they had no money, they had no place to stay, but they were just going from house to house and having little programs, and they were getting bigger and bigger. They were giving lectures, they were giving kathas, they were giving books. And gradually, hundreds and hundreds, perhaps thousands of people became devotees. And the people of the town themselves came together and built a beautiful temple. They invited Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur to come and install the deities that they had made in the temple. They did it all only to please him. And they understood fully it was only his grace that made it possible. Imagine, they came with nothing, knowing no one, and now there's thousands of people chanting Hare Krishna, hundreds wanting to get initiated, beautiful temple built, wonderful prasad, deities to be installed. Everything was arranged. Srila Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur agreed to come. The date was set. Sometime before, one brahmachari was inappropriately mixing, speaking to a young lady. And one of the senior brahmacharis chastised him very severely. And that person was so mortified. He felt so bad, so guilty. Without saying a word to anyone, he just left. Meanwhile, everyone was really on a marathon preparing to get all the last arrangements done for their guru coming. And he came. They felt bad about the boy, but they were too busy to think about it too much. There were thousands of people welcoming Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur with kirtan. There was beautiful garlands, wonderful temple made. He came off the train, he came, he was standing at the temple, he was looking around at everything, and everyone was so blissful. Just looking at his face, because they did it all only to please him. With great anticipation, all they wanted to see was that he was pleased with their years and years of sacrifice and hard work. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, "Where is this brahmachari?" They couldn't believe it. He was not a senior person. He was not one of the leaders. He was kind of insignificant. I explained what happened. He said, unless you bring him back, I will not be pleased with anything else you have done. You should not have hurt him. He may have made a mistake, but you should not have hurt him. They were really in a fix because they had no idea where he could have gone. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur didn't want the installation to happen till he was back. So they frantically, even the leaders, they were going all over the town trying to find him. But where? He could have gone anywhere. Well, one person, one senior brahmachari, remembered that another brahmachari broke his watch and he fixed it. So that means he knows how to fix watches. And he left the ashram with nothing, so he has to make a living somewhere. Maybe he's fixing watches. So they went to every single watch repair shop looking for him. And finally, in the back room of one, he was back there fixing a watch. And a leader of the ashram went back and told him the whole story of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and that devotee was crying and crying and crying. He said, I was yearning to come back, but I felt so guilty I couldn't show my face to all of you. And when he came back, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur embraced him, and the installation took place. What is the message? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very strict about following regulative principles and living according to proper etiquette. He was very strict. But he balanced his strictness with deep compassion. He would say, I have personally shed buckets and buckets of my blood to bring each and every single person who has come to this movement. How careful you should be to make sure they never leave. That was the responsibility he gave us. Very high standards, but very deep compassion. And a willingness to forgive those who have the sincere desire to try to overcome their weaknesses or their mistakes of the past. And there are so many beautiful stories of Srila Prabhupada who practically did the exact same thing in different circumstances. This simplicity. In Kali Yuga, we have to strive to be exemplary and strict according to the standards of our particular ashram. And Varna. But at the same time, we have to be very strict on ourselves. And we have to, by our example, by our teachings, inspire the same in others. But we have to be very compassionate according to a person's particular level, to somehow or other give them a place and encourage them to make advancement. Srila Prabhupada said, you will show your love for me by how you cooperate with one another to carry forward this great mission. And this little story I just told of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is a very crucial example of what cooperation means. Every devotee is the property in the care of Srila Prabhupada and his loving representatives. We are entrusted with the care of these people. We try to keep each other very, very healthy through powerful, pure satsang, kirtan, katha, and seva, sadhana. But where there's a problem, we fix it. This is where we must unite on this principle. What will please our Guru Parampara? So many people have different personalities, different natures, different conceptions. That will always be. Within a family, within a community, within an ashram, within a movement worldwide. But the simplicity of our hearts, the naisham matis tavarurukramangring, Ahiya Sampadira Jobhishekam, this Abhishek of dust from the feet of the Lord comes through putting as our priority to unite, to please our Guru Parampara. And with every great challenge, there is an opportunity to spiritually grow individually and collectively. Sankirtan is the prime benediction for all of humanity. Sankirtan is when we are with our hearts united with each other to glorify Krishna through chanting his holy names. Srila Prabhupada explained it's easy to kind of be a Babaji and just chant. It's very challenging, this Sankirtan. To actually have a movement to spread the glories of the holy name all over the world, which means people of all different backgrounds, of different races, of different castes, of different academic situations, how to all be united to chant together, to preach together, to serve one another, to please our Guru. We should not allow the Hiranyakashipu tendencies within us to disturb, to object to the simple little Prahlad instruction to keep our bodies always covered with the dust of the feet of Srila Prabhupada and our previous acharyas. Through chanting the holy names of Krishna in this spirit that we are speaking about today. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. there any questions you would like to ask?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much Maharaj for such nice enlightening class. You were telling towards the end of the class that in the community of Vaishnavas we should be sacrificing our opinions and all. So, but then when we are actually put in situation, we feel my opinion is the best opinion. I am correct. And we can justify also. Both the parties keep justifying. Then there is, it doesn't head anywhere. It just gets blocked there only.
Start over, I couldn't hear.
When there are differences of opinions among Vaishnavas, so everybody feels that I am correct. And there are reasons also to say how it is correct. So how do we go ahead? How to resolve this?
Quite simple. We discuss it, and if we cannot come to a conclusion of how to resolve it, we approach a senior Vaishnav who we are under the care of, and we consult them. Srila Prabhupada made it simple. That clear? We should discuss, try to resolve it among ourselves, and if it's, and somehow if we're not, we're successful, and we approach a senior Vaishnav, who's an authority for all of us, and then we all just accept it. Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, when we do something and we are able to achieve some success, then if somebody is giving some, then there is arrogance that I am able to do, and if somebody is giving suggestions or ideas, then there is no, we are not ready to accept. How to avoid this arrogance when there is, we are able to do some good things?
The nature of arrogance is we think everyone else is arrogant except me. And everyone who's laughing will experience that, yes, it's true. That everyone is arrogant except me. It begins with ourself. We may not be able to cleanse the arrogance of others, but we have to look to our own soul. Transforming the world begins with transforming myself. We have to honestly, humbly, sincerely examine to see if I'm arrogant. We may be. Arrogance is when we want to enjoy a higher position than others. Service is when we want to bring others to a higher position. So that's the first thing. Physician, heal thyself. And beyond that, when that is sincerely taken into consideration, we take guidance from superior Vaishnavas, from senior Vaishnavas. It's an easy thing. And if we're not willing to accept the guidance, then we really understand that there is some arrogance here. And have compassion upon yourself too. You can't be compassionate to others unless you're compassionate to yourself too. Forgive yourself if you've made some mistakes and move ahead. Does that answer your question? Yes.
Alex.
Yes.
Maharaj, we often hear in your lecture about trying to be servant of servant, but we heard also from some devotees that it is not so easy to be a servant, what to speak of, servant of the servant of the servant of servant. So is this just a mood, or how to understand in my action it is there or not? How to understand, is it just a mood of expressing with the words that I'm servant of you, or in what way I can express in my actions as well?
According to our particular role and relationship with another, there may be different ways in which we serve. But for a Vaishnava, we're always a servant. A guru is humbly serving all disciples. A leader is humbly serving all the followers. The followers are always serving the leader. The followers and the leader and the guru, everyone ultimately is serving each other. But one of the important elements of being a servant of the servant of the servant is to actually be a well-wisher. To have a philosophical understanding of Siddhanta, where we really understand what does it mean to be a well-wisher? How can I serve this person according to my capacity, according to my talents, according to my position, to actually bring about love of God, love of Krishna in this person's heart? To give them deeper faith, to give them a deeper attraction to the nine processes of devotional service, to give them more strength to overcome Maya and their own anartas and the anartas of other people. You should be a well-wisher. As said, we have to be a well-wisher to ourselves. And we have to be a well-wisher to others. We shouldn't be a well-wisher to our false ego. We should be a well-wisher to our true needs. and a well-wisher to all others, according to time, place, and circumstance, then we're really in the mood of a servant of the servant of the servant. We speak and we act accordingly. Serving the gurus, serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is to harmonize our actions, our words, our thoughts, our lives in such a way to please them. To actually love them. And to be a well-wisher among our peers. And to be very compassionate well-wisher to those who are having difficulties. Or to the conditioned souls. Someone else like to ask a question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept. Maharaj, my senses being so contaminated, I find it very difficult to overcome. Maharaj, what is the temptations are so strong, always, even though trying, always, if a person is falling down, how can he overcome it? His past conditions may be very, very strong. But yet he has a desire that he wants to get rid out of it. Thank you, Maharaj. Please instruct.
Requires sincerity. Yavashayatmaka buddhir ekeha kuru dandana bahushaka yanantashas buddhayo vyavashayana. Our sincerity is expressed by our determination to be resolute in purpose, to really focus on what transformation is required in my life to please Krishna and serve Krishna. We can't take devotional service cheaply. We must have determination that when Maya is tempting us in so many ways, we have to be determined to maintain our integrity and our character and the vows we've taken or wish to take. And the determination is by saying no to Maya and yes to Krishna, by filling our hearts and our souls with Krishna, by seriously taking shelter of the holy names, by seriously taking shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, by seriously taking shelter of the association of devotees, by seriously taking shelter of the deities of Radha Kunja Bihari, Radha Vrindavan Chandra, Radha Gopinath, Radha Govinda, by seriously putting Krishna in the center of our lives and filling our lives with Krishna. When Maya strikes, we have to be determined not to give in. But the only way to sustainably do that is we really have to take shelter. The material world is a very diseased place. Chanting our rounds every day, reading from the scriptures from Prabhupada's books every day is like immuning us, giving us an immunization, giving us the strength to be like lotus flowers and remain clean even in muddy places. In order to remain clean like a lotus leaf in muddy places, we have to have the determination to keep our minds and our hearts filled with Krishna, His holy names, devotional service, humble prayers, and simultaneous determination. Ragadveshivamuktaishtu vishayanandriyashtiran atma vishaya vidheyatma prasadam adikachchati. We follow these regulative principles, which are a gift. And what is the actual result of following the regulative principles? Not that we become so spiritually powerful that Maya cannot touch us. The result is, if we do it sincerely, without making aparads, then prasadam. Krishna says he will give his mercy. And it is that mercy that protects us from all the temptations of lust and anger, envy, arrogance, greed, and illusion. So, taking shelter means to say no to Maya and yes to Krishna, and to fill our lives in such a way that we have Krishna's grace with us. Hare Krishna. And we need each other too. We need the association of devotees, satsang, to keep us focused in our sadhana, in our prayer, and in a clear vision. What is favorable and what is unfavorable.
Maharaj?
Rupa Goswami explains, surrender is to accept what is favorable and reject what is unfavorable. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Maharaj, how to discriminate between hypocrisy and weakness of heart, and how to get over that hypocritic behavior? How to get over hypocritic behavior?
If we're humble, we cannot be hypocritical. If we're really genuinely humble, we should be honest. However, whatever our position, however advanced we are, we shouldn't try to portray ourselves as being very advanced, great souls. We should just sincerely, honestly, earnestly want to be a humble servant of everyone. Yes? Hypocrisy is one of the most powerful weapons of Maya in the age of Kali. And hypocrisy is one of the greatest destroyers of people's faith. So be humble, be honest, be sincere. Seek shelter of devotees when we're weak. Give shelter to devotees when we're strong. We're always serving. And don't try to defend positions that are in a dishonest way.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. We always hear you lecture from lecture, be mood up, in the mood of servant, Tranadapi Suniche, Tarurapi Sheshuna. But what happens? Whenever I hear, sometimes I get inferiority complex. again, but not able to follow it. I get miserably failed. So I fear to hear your lecture.
Can you repeat what he said?
Refuse to hear your lectures in which you say that you should give up inquiry to complex.
Because it's
microphone.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji was asking Maharaj that, Maharaj, when I hear, he says that when I hear your instructions in your lectures, I am unable to follow them. So I feel inferiority complex and feeling of guilt, fear in hearing more and more lectures because I keep on hearing but I don't follow. Correct, no?
Be the mood observant, Tranadapi, Suni Chain, Tarurapi Sahishuna. But I'm not this, I'm not able to follow. Means like that, I get failed. I miserably failed. So I think like something else should be told.
I never listen to my lecture, so I don't know what you're speaking about. But I'm trying to repeat the message of Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada. We should not feel inferior complex. To whatever degree we have shortcomings, we should humble ourselves to do the best we can to make ourselves stronger. Srila Prabhupada encouraged everyone to come to a higher level, not to beat themselves down to a lower level. So if we have some difficulty, if we have some weakness, rather than feeling inferior and miserable, we should sincerely be taking shelter and striving to do better. We understand what the standard is. We don't compromise what the standard is. If we're not there, we humble ourselves and sincerely, with determination and enthusiasm, keep trying to reach that standard. With the help of the holy name and the Vaishnavas. But we shouldn't feel miserable. As long as we're honestly and sincerely trying, we should feel grateful and happy that we have the association of devotees to help us. And we have this gift of bhakti to lift us up. Whether we could jump to the top immediately or whether it's step by step, we should never give up trying.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Maharaj, in a situation where there is a conflict between devotees and our immediate authority has one opinion, and the authority further to the authority has a mixed opinion. So my personal inclination would be to follow the immediate authority, but what should really be the mood and standing in that case?
If possible, you can go to the authority of the authority of the authority. But in a situation like most of us are in, the authorities themselves should work it out. we shouldn't be implicated in all of this. Better we just serve our authority and let them work it out with the others. Does that answer your question?
Maharaj, but the authority is expecting that, you know, we become an instrument of the authority.
According to time, place, and circumstance, we have to apply these principles. So, I think it's a personal matter that you should consult. But it's not necessary. The general principle is that the authorities should work it out among themselves. That's responsible leadership. But if that's not happening in a particular situation, then it should be dealt with in a very specific, personal way. Which is too complex to try to understand and resolve in among thousands of people. That is my opinion. Radhe Shyam Prabhu, would you like to answer her question?
Hare Krishna, one vehicle, FY2948, is blocking other vehicles, so they are requested to please move the vehicle. FY2948. Four-wheeler. Ram, 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 Hari.
Maharaj, if I were in her position, I would humbly express to my immediate authority that if you don't mind, it will be nice if you consult your superior and both of you are able to consensus and then you tell me. Thank you.
Like that.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, this question is related to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All the time he was in the mood of Radharani, in the mood of separation, and at the same time he was like a mother and father to his devotees, and also he was Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So if I have to fix any bhav with him, what should be that bhav? How should I look at him? Radharani or mother, as a mother or Supreme Personality of God, Krishna?
He is Krishna in the mood of Sri Radha to give love for Krishna to the world. Ultimately, we understand he is giving Sri Radha's love to the world. He's experiencing and sharing the highest prema. That is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is our appreciation. That is the exalted understanding of the tattva of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But as far as our own particular life, to really be able to appreciate that, to really be able to understand that beyond just a theoretical mental conception, we do the will of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is Krishna with the mood of Radha, but what is our relationship with him? Servant of the servant of the servant. That means to carry out the orders, to carry out the will of the spiritual masters. First, we must control our senses and follow the four regulative principles. We must really sincerely, attentively chant the holy names of the Lord. We must learn to give up our egos and cooperate nicely with other Vaishnavas. We must help to work very hard to spread the mission. Yes, this is our role. This is how we approach Krishna, who has taken the mood of Sri Radha as the most magnanimous of all incarnations. We understand who Mahaprabhu is according to this explanation, but the realization comes through how we're chanting Krishna's name, how we're living with the character of a Vaishnava, and how we're helping with his great mission as the servant of the servant of the servant. So our bhav should be to be the servant of the servant of the servant. Otherwise it could become sahajya, taking it cheaply. Does that answer your question? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So I will just end with thanking the devotees for coming today. My special gratitude for the extraordinary, astounding historical service that the devotees here in Pune have done. From a little temple with so many problems, it has been transformed into one of the most wonderful temples in the world. It's one of the most vibrant congregations in the world. One of the most wonderful ashrams of brahmacharis in the world. It's quite extraordinary. Challenges will always be, but please do appreciate and be grateful for the incredible service and incredible devotional achievements that you have all together created on behalf of Prabhupada and Krishna. And people from all over the world, when they come to Radha Vrindavan Chandra's temple, they're very deeply transformed and deeply impressed and deeply inspired. And it has been a joint effort, a cooperative effort among all of you. But with every achievement, this is the way bhakti works. It's the way the world works of bhakti too. With every achievement, new challenges come. And it's by overcoming challenges that you have attained this achievement. And it's by overcoming these challenges that are facing you now that you'll reach greater achievements. But then there will be more challenges by which you can attain greater achievements. But then there will be more challenges by which you'll attain greater achievements. So don't be discouraged by challenges. Be happy. You have done tremendous, incredible, great devotional service, all of you. So be grateful, be happy, be encouraged in every way. And remain always enthusiastic to do more. Special gratitude to Radhe Shyam Prabhu. He came here to Pune when it was just a very small little temple and has created devotees, the team around him also. Not only created such incredible amounts of devotees here in Pune, but all over India. And to be honest with you, wherever I go in the world, many of the leading, most important devotees helping different projects of Prabhupada happen to be from Pune. They became devotees in Pune, they were trained in Pune, and now they're doing wonderful things in so many parts of the world. So please, you should, each and every one of you should be proud, not arrogant pride. Proud of the grace that you have all received together. And feel extremely encouraged by what you've accomplished and by the opportunities of what more you could accomplish. And be happy. Don't be miserable and share your misery. You've done historical service. If you're humble, Krishna has empowered all of you to do it. And he's given you the opportunity to do it. So be happy and share your happiness with each other. And if you just do that nicely, all the other challenges will be overcome. Really, I have no power to express how grateful I am to all of you. And those of you who have come from Nigri, same principle. Started with Gopalacharya Prabhu and his family's little room, Krishnadanda Prabhu and Radhe Shyam Prabhu and Vrindavan Prabhu. You know, they came and were helping to lead these projects. And now, from where I sit, it's going so good, it's out of control. That's a challenge. When good things start going so good, it's hard to maintain, hard to sustain. That's a challenge. But it's a wonderful challenge. So please, be humbly proud. And be very happy. Be very happy with what you've done and share that happiness with each other so that you could do so much more. Pune Yatra of 2013. Somehow Krishna Chandra Prabhu and Radha Priya have tricked us into a Pune Yatra. Let us thank them very much for this wonderful hospitality that they're giving. At this time, with our heart of hearts, we will offer Pushpanjali and Kirtan to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was immensely pleased when we properly honor and worship his guru, which was his life and soul. So this is an extremely important event in the lives of all of us. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur empowered Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur with this incredible mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which was passed on to Srila Prabhupada, who fulfilled it
in a way never to be done before in history. And he has entrusted this great legacy to each and every one of us. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Maharaj, for your very sublime instructions. We felt let this lecture go on for eternity. So you also expressed the heart of all the devotees here. We all felt it's a mini Punayatra. Especially for all the disciples of Maharaja in Pune, to have a program like this is a very rare event for us. We are very thankful to Maharaj. Let's thank Maharaj. Loud Haribo. Haribo!